First-class miser. He was so miserly that he wouldn't even spend money on sense gratification. Generally, a miserly person doesn't want to give to charity. He pinches his pennies so that he'll have money to spend for his own enjoyment. But this person was so miserly that he wouldn't even spend for his own sense gratification. And what to speak of the sense gratification of his family members or anyone else. So he became a most disagreeable person, greedy, angry, these things go together. And everyone turned against him. His friends turned against him, his family members turned against him. Everybody was against him. Misers are not very much appreciated. Everyone turned against him. And the result was that he finally lost all of his money. Either the friends took it, the family members took it, the government, somehow or other, all of the money was lost. And then he was miserable. Then he was miserable. lost all my money and everyone's against me. But then a sense of detachment arose within him. That's described in another history, that there was a prostitute named Pingala who was waiting for a customer to come, any customer, and she was staying by her doorway and thinking, now here comes someone, certainly he'll be attracted to me. Well, he's gone by, but someone else will certainly come, and on and on, and no one came. And finally she just became disgusted and developed a sense of detachment. That sometimes happens, that when we become a failure in material advancement, then we may come to the point, what's the use? And what would I have done if I'd achieved that anyway? So she developed that sense of detachment, that why should I be wasting my life on this nonsense? Similarly, the Brahmin here developed a sense of detachment, and he thought that what is the use of this? He developed this sense of detachment. He said that I've simply tormented myself for no reason, struggling hard for money that wasn't even meant for religious purposes or sense gratification or material enjoyment. It was just nothing. Anyway, the miserly person never becomes happy by his money. He just torments himself. And it drags him down. Whatever pure fame is possessed by the famous, and whatever praiseworthy qualities are found in the virtuous, are destroyed by even a small amount of greed. Just as one's attractive physical beauty is ruined by a trace of white leprosy. In the Bhagavad Gita also, kama, krodha, tatha, lobha, these things are doorways to hell. In earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, everyone experiences labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. So these were some of his realizations. I was so attached to every penny, and it was foolish. All good qualities were lost by this attachment to wealth, and all of your friends and relatives who are attached to you because of your wealth will leave you as soon as your wealth is gone. And aside from that, people become enemies over a coin. Become angry, they become a rose, over a small amount of money. So, one who gets this human life, which even the demigods aspire for, and beyond that becomes a Brahmin, and then wastes that human life, is the most unfortunate person. That was his realization. So, what was the use? What is the use of getting this opportunity and wasting it? Just where is money? Where is money? Where is money? How to protect my money? So he goes on in that way. He has some further discussion about money and what should be done with it, how it should actually be used for the service of the Lord. And then he thought that it's my good fortune, actually, that I've lost all my wealth, because that's forced me to come to the stage of a detachment by which I can make spiritual progress. He thought, this is Krishna's mercy. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, Yasyaham Manugranami Manishe Tantanamashana. Krishna says, if I really favor someone, I gradually take away all of his money. And he tries to build it up again, and I take it away again, so that finally he surrenders to it. And then he becomes happy. So the Brahmin appreciated these understandings. And as a result, he decided to live as a sannyasi, to give up this material existence and take up the role of a mendicant, accepting just the bare minimum, controlling his mind, his intelligence, his senses, living on whatever little charity he got, and not even presenting himself as a spiritually advanced person, just taking up the role of a beggar. But the rowdy persons, uncivilized persons, would insult him. What's the word used for them? Asatjana. Asatjana. The low-class, nasty people would insult him. And it's described how they would torment him. They'd take away his sannyas danda, or they'd take away the water pot that he was using as a begging pole, or they'd take away his seat, or they'd take his chanting beads, or they'd steal his old torn cloth, and then they'd dangle it before him and pretend to offer it back, and then take it back again. In this way, they would call him bad names, and they would insult him. When he was sitting by the riverbank, about to take the food that he had gotten by begging, they would come and pass urine on him, or they would spit on his head. And people get so, such people are there. They enjoy, they say, he's a thief, tie him up, and then they would tie him up. Or they say, he's just a hypocrite, he's just a cheat, his family wouldn't have anything to do with him, so they threw him out. In the United States actually has refined such techniques as a part of what they call enhanced interrogation techniques, what we used to call torture. They've employed highly skilled psychologists in the art of psychologically tormenting a prisoner. Making him dress up as a woman, threatening him with dogs. This is passing urine on him. I don't know if that's a United States technique that was used in some other country that comes to mind. Or the country doesn't come to mind. Maybe it was China at some point. Someplace they were using that just as a way of breaking down the, what would you say, the psychological integrity of the person, just reducing him to despair, teasing him and insulting him. I could go on with some of the things that they would do when it's not necessary. The idea is that either a government does this sort of thing as a kind of carefully refined technique, or just ordinary low-class people do this sort of thing. They'll call you names, they'll insult you, they'll accuse you of dastardly things, they'll take away your possessions, they'll take pleasure in looking for some way to agitate you. They'll look for some way to agitate you. We see this among children, that a child teases another child until the other child cries. And then the first child becomes happy. Made you cry. Cry baby. These things are there even in children who can be notably cruel on occasion. Children can be notably cruel. And adults also can take pleasure in seeing others unhappy, or can take pleasure in tormenting others. Particularly if they're from some other group. If you belong to the enemy camp, or you belong to some heretical group, or whatever it is, if we're the insiders and you're the outsiders, we're the good guys and you're the bad guys, then there's no limit to what we can do to make you miserable. It's all justified. And the general result of such activities is that one becomes agitated. One becomes distraught, one becomes angry, one wants to retaliate. One, call me names, I'll call you a better name. Try to push me around, I'll push you back. Start thinking about all the things that I could do to you or that I wish would happen to you. Just become angry, burst into tears, and typical human reactions. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Yasman nojite loko lokan nojite jayaha arshamarsha vayod begar suyukta sasuki udvijita means agitated. Yasman no vijite loko. A person who doesn't agitate others. Lokan no vijite jayaha. Who's not agitated by others. Harsha marsha payo vegar. Mukto yasa chavekriya. And who's liberated from happiness, distress, fear, he's very dear to me. So this Brahman, although tormented by others in so many ways, accepted as being allotted to him by providence. Come by destiny. And he remains steady in his duties, his spiritual position. He remained steady in the mode of goodness, and he chanted a song which is known as the Dvija Gita, or the song of the Avanti Brahmin. This is found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 23rd chapter. And he said, Nayam jano me sukadukka hetur, na devatatma grahakarma kala. mana padam karam amananti samsara chakram parivarti yat. These people are not the cause of my unhappiness. Nayam, na ayam jana. It's not these people who are causing this trouble for me. They're not the source of sukha dukkha, not the source of happiness and not the source of distress. Happiness comes to me, it's not actually because of other people. And if distress comes, it's also not because of them. Na devatatma. Na devata. It's also not because of the demigods. They may have some role in what happens to this material body, but finally, what does this body have to do with me? So if I'm in happiness, or if I'm in distress, why should the demigods be to blame? They're only dealing with this body. And Atma, it's not the body itself that's to blame. Although misery is constitutional to this body, I can't blame the body for my suffering either. Na devatatma graha karma kala. And I can't blame it on the planets. Oh, it's the influence of Mercury, the influence of Saturn, Rahu, Ketu, Nagraha. I can't blame it on the planets. Karma, not even on my own past activities. And Kala, I can't blame it on time either. Because time again affects this body. Then, manaparam karanamamananti. It's because of the mind. Because the mind is identifying with this body. Therefore, so much trouble. If I don't identify with the body, what trouble will the demigods cause me? What planets can affect me? What will be the result of karma? What will be the result of other people? They can all do something that pertains to this body. But I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. And where is the trouble? The trouble is the mind. Because the mind falsely identifies with this body. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, why do you shave your head? And of course, it's a stupid question from Prabhupada's estimation. And he would give some suitable answer. On one occasion he said, it's so that when they hit you on the hair, you won't feel it. Right? After you've shaved off all your hair, they can hit the hair all they want. And you won't feel it. The self-realized person who knows that he's not this body can tolerate so much trouble caused by this body. And he knows it's not actually because of the body, it's not because of my karma, it's not because of the planets, it's not because of the demigods, it's not because of other people. And these are all responses. We blame them. It's them. If these people would, I'm going to sue them. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to sick my dog on them. I'll shoot them. I'll poison them. I'll teach them a lesson. Because they're the ones who are responsible. individually or collectively. I'm going to go to war against them because it's them. It's their fault. Or a person who's more philosophical, he says, no, it's not these people. It is destiny. It's the demigods. Sometimes they complain about the demigods also. What kind of demigods are these that they're causing trouble to an innocent person like me? Or else they just feel helpless, that what can I do? The demigods have turned against me. Even the gopis, they were thinking, the demigods must be against us because they're taking Krishna. Or we blame this body. I've got this terrible body. It's ugly, it's sick, it's, I can't chant Hare Krishna because of this body. And we think my body is so miserable, it's causing me so much trouble. Or the planets, we touched on that, how a person, I'm in my Rahu period, and therefore this and this and this and this. But the Brahmins said, it's not any of these things. It's my mind. It's my mind. Because I'm identifying myself with this material body, I've brought all of these. False happiness and false distress. Because I accept that I'm this body, I'm looking for happiness, and I'm bringing my own distress. Because there is a two-sided coin. Well, he speaks about the mind, and he says, if the mind is uncontrolled, what is the use of ritualistic charity or pious rituals? And if the mind is controlled, then why do you have to perform pious activities and various rituals? The focus is one has to control the mind. The senses are under the control of the mind, but the mind is never under the control of anything. Stronger than the strongest, godlike in its power. So anyone who controls the mind becomes master of the senses. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, what is that? Udharet atman atmanam, atmanam avasadiyet, natmanam avasadiyet, atmayava yatmano bantur atmayava puratman. One has to elevate oneself by the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind can be the best friend and the mind can be the worst enemy. Bandhuratmanastasya yenatmanatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmanam shatruvat. For one who controls the mind, mind becomes the best friend. And one who fails to control the mind lives always with the worst thing. This realization the Brahmin had, and he goes point by point, why it's not the demigods, why it's not the body, why it's not the other people, why it's not time, why it's not karma, why finally he comes to the conclusion that it's this mind. And finally he determines, eta sastaya paratmanishtam adhyasita purvataram mahadpi aham tarishyami divantaparam tamohukundanvi. I'll cross over the darkness of material existence with determination. What is that determination? Pradhanishtha. With full faith in Krishna, Paramatma, Pradhanishtha. Etas astaya Pradhanishtha. Adyasita purvatagam mahatmanhi. I'll follow in the footsteps of the great self-realized souls who engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham tarishyami durantakara. And although the material existence is very difficult to overcome, I'll cross over this ocean of material darkness. Aham tarishyami durantapadam tamo mukundanvi nishet. By serving the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was his determination. And the devotees are, as devotees, we're meant to follow this example, to hear about and remember the understandings reached by this Brahmin from Avantipur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he accepted sannyas, chanted this mantra spoken by the Avantipur Brahmin. And Srila Prabhupada also gave this mantra to his sannyas disciples, because it gives the mentality of pure devotional service, which is the essence of renounced life or detached life. Simply to detach oneself from material activities is not the solution to the problems of life and may not even be possible. Sannyasastu mahabaho dukamaptum mayogata. For one who is not engaged in the service of Krishna, sannyas will simply be a source of trouble. But one who's reached this understanding that what do I have to do with this material existence? What do I have to do even with this body? My real relationship is with the Personality of Godhead, and it's Him that I have to take shelter of. Such a person is an eligible candidate for chanting the holy name of Krishna, or for going back to Godhead by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's a candidate for chanting Hare Krishna. And as one matures in understanding, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes eligible to go back home. Hare Krishna. Some questions, are there? Is there a microphone for you? Do you have a second microphone here? Okay, just be loud. Why it's not our karma? Because karma pertains to this body. Uttapavo bhavakaro visarga karma sangita in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter. Krishna says karma has to do with the development of the Sri Krishna. Especially the flesh. Krishna says the activities that have to do with the development of this material body is what karma is. By good karma, you get money. By bad karma, you lose your money. By good karma, you become beautiful. By bad karma, you lose your beauty. By good karma, you get good health. By bad karma, you lose your health. But what does that all have to do with? It has to do with this body. So these people, on account of my karma, are teasing me. But that's not the problem. problem is, I think it's me. I think this body has something to do with myself. And it doesn't. But I'm falsely identifying with this body, and therefore when they criticize me, I think that I'm being criticized. Therefore, elsewhere, Tulya Nindat Nasanstutihi. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says a person who's self-realized is equipoised in fame and defamation. Tulya Nindatma Samstuti, whether people praise him or they badmouth him. The same. What's it have to do with me? Just suppose, you know, if I were George Washington, first president, people say George Washington is great. Even now people say George Washington is great. What good is that for George Washington? He's gone through so many births and deaths since being president of first president of the United States. So now if they say George Washington, as they teach all the students in the school, George Washington was the father of our country. He was a great man. What's the use? It's only praise for a body that he no longer has. If your fame lives on after you, so what? Or if your infamy lives on after you, even then, so what? If you're not this body, what does it have to do with you? And that was his realization.
Says it's easier for him to control
the
mind.
Mano dur nigraham chalam. More difficult than controlling the vayuriva sudushkara. Easier to control the wind than to control the mind. And Krishna says, yes, samsham mahabaho mano dur nigraham chalam. Abhyasena tukantya vairagina jagrita. But it's possible. How is it possible? Abhyasa. By suitable practice. Vairagyena, by detachment. But the Brahman is teaching us detachment. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us suitable practice in the form of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Abhyasa yogi obtain chaitasa nanakam paramam purusham divyam yati partamajanta. By practicing in the right manner, one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness. And his mind doesn't go to this and that, it goes to Krishna, and he goes to Krishna. Yati partamajanta. Should we chant again for a few minutes? There's RT at 8:30, or what happens? What's next? Prasadam's next. Okay. So we'll have a short kirtan. Long kirtans before prasadam. Make you unpopular.